Toe in the water.
Welcome to the Ocean Hills Podcast. Our hope is that today's message would help you connect more deeply with God and with others. If you would like more information on what is happening in the Ocean Hills community, check out our website at oceanhills.org or download the Ocean Hills app. If you are encouraged by our ministry and would like to partner with us financially, you can give through your mobile device by texting Ocean Hills to 77977. We hope you enjoy this message.
Holy Spirit, we invite you to come close right now. Speak to us. Give us eyes of faith. Give us hearts that are tender towards you. Help us to take a risk this morning by opening ourselves to what you would have for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank my wife. I didn't bring my reading glasses, so I'm going to borrow hers this morning. Psalm 119. I'm going to read some verses for us. They will not be on the screen, beginning in verses 25. And let me just read out of the New Living Translation. And as I read, I want you to listen to the heart, the spirit of this writer, this young man. We're not fully sure who the author is. There's a few different possibilities, but listen to the language, to the feeling, the emotion. This is a guy that has authentic, real. He's not pretending. He's not going through the motions here. He's got a real, authentic, heartfelt, living relationship with God. It's beginning in verse 25. He's so honest. He's so vulnerable. I lie in the dust. Revive me by your word. I told you my plans and you answered. And now teach me your decrees. Help me understand the meaning of your commandments, and I will meditate on your wonderful deeds. I weep with sorrow. Encourage me by your word. Keep me from living for myself. Give me the privilege of knowing your instructions. I have chosen to be faithful. I have determined to live by your regulations. I cling to your laws. Lord, don't let me be put to shame. I will pursue your commands, for you expand my understanding. Teach me your decrees, O Lord. I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will obey your instructions. I'll put them into practice. I'll put them into practice. I'll put them into practice. I will put them into practice with all my heart. Make me walk along the paths of your commands, for that is where my happiness is found. Give me an eagerness for your laws rather than a love for money. Turn my eyes from worthless things and give me life. Give me life. Give me life through your word. Reassure me of your promise made to those who fear you. Help me abandon my shameful ways, for your regulations are good. I long to obey your commandments. Renew my life with your goodness. Lord, give me your unfailing love, the salvation that you promise me. And then I can answer those who taunt me, for I trust in your word. Do not snatch your word of truth from me, for your regulations, they're my only hope. I will keep on obeying your instructions forever and ever. Listen to this, verse 45. I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. And we'll stop there. I'm wondering right now, how many of us have a relationship with Christianity that feels like a bunch of rules, following God's rules, following the commandments. It's like it's an obligation. And I think that kind of strikes or intersects with all of us at some point in our faith journey. That's real. There are times we kind of default into, I'm not feeling it. I kind of want to do my own thing. But I'm a person of faith, and I know God's given me his word. And here's what I want you to hear this morning. The beauty of this psalm, I think it's discovered in the life-giving, genuine friendship that this writer has with God. It's not a kind of, I'm kind of bored, I'm kind of lukewarm. His life, as you read through, it's 176 verses. That's why we're spending like 6 weeks in this one chapter of the Bible, Psalm 119. But what you discover is the writer, he has been impacted by darkness, by evil, by tragedy, and he's been humbled by sorrow, by disappointment, by discouragement, by despair. And yet, what do we see? We see him continuing to lean in, to trust God, to follow, to walk in God's ways that he believes will lead to flourishing. It will lead to life. Did you hear that language as I was reading? It's about life and happiness. He said, my happiness comes from walking in your ways, following your commands. It leads to life. It's interesting. There's a writer, Mark Buchanan. I don't know if you've read any of his stuff, but I have a quote in my list of quotes. He says, Jesus is the good life. He's not out to ruin us. Now, do you believe that? Or are you chasing some other thing out there that you think, or worthless thing out there that you think is going to lead to life and happiness? And that's what the psalmist teaches us, and we're going to get to that here in just a moment. But this Psalm 119, first reading, you think it's all about the law. It's all about the rules. And in fact, we have a slide. There's 8 different Hebrew words that are used for God's law. It's law, word, laws, statutes, commands, precepts, decrees, word with a little w. And this is a psalm that's actually not only about the law, it's actually more about love. It's a love story between the writer and his God, and that he's trusting him and he's responsive to him. And that's why he's hungry to follow him and walk in his ways and have a life-giving friendship and relationship with him. There's a quote by C.S. Lewis. It's one of my favorites. He says this new life of following Jesus, this new life, it's more like dye than it is paint. It's more like dye than it is paint. Paint covers the surface. That's rules. Paint covers the surface. Dye soaks all the way through. Paint covers the surface. That's following the rules. But dye soaks all the way through. And that's transformation from the inside out. That's relationship with the living God. Let me give you a quote from John Mark Comer's book, Practicing the Way. He said this, come follow me. Contrary to what many assume, Jesus did not invite people to convert to Christianity. What? Jesus did not invite people to convert to Christianity. He didn't even call people to become Christians. He invited people to apprentice under him into a whole new way of living. Key word there, apprentice. To be transformed My thesis is simple. Transformation is possible if we are willing to arrange our lives around the practices, rhythms, and truths that Jesus himself did, which will open our lives to God's power to change. And so this sermon series, Psalm 119, we are rearranging our lives around the practices and around this rhythm and the truth of God's word. One of Jesus's practices was he read the Old Testament law. It was life-giving. He would quote it. It transformed. It worked in him and on him and through him. And so we read that he got up early to pray, to read, to seek God. That's what we're doing in this. It's like if Jesus needed God's word in his life, I need it. You need it. And so this idea of apprenticing, it's not just about raising your hand, I believe. This faith journey is about transformation, not just information. It's transformation. It's not just believing. It's actually transformation leads to a change of behavior. And that's what this book is about. It's about having my heart and yours transformed. And so as we jump into the second part of Psalm 119, here's how I framed just a couple of reflections here. The benefits of walking in God's way. Here's the first one. God uses his word to revive us, Revive. I want you to think of that for a moment while I read some verses for us. Verse 25 of Psalm 119, he writes, "My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word." Verse 28, "My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word." Verse 107, "I'm afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word." Verse 156, "Lord, how great is your mercy. Let me be revived." How? By following your regulations. Not more tequila, not more Netflix, not more golf, not more trips, not more money, not more likes on Instagram. God, walking in your ways, following your commands, revival in my own soul. When I'm weary, when I'm filled with sorrow, when I'm feeling dead, let's go back to that word. What does it mean, revive? It implies that someone or something is dead, doesn't it? If someone needs to be revived, it implies they're dead. You're dead. You're dying. You're in a darkness. You're discouraged. It's downcast, and you want to and need to be lifted up. That's what this word, to revive, is to be brought back to life, to be restored. And so he cries out to God. I want you to think about those of us that are married, even if you're not married, think about the signs of a dead marriage. What would it be like you think, dude, my marriage is dead? Or it's on the way. I mean, we're dying. I asked, you know, we do a little devotion on the sermon in the children's room, and I just open it up. And these were the words that came out. When a couple's not talking to each other anymore, that's one of the signs of a marriage that's dying or that's dead. Another is there's a hardness, a callousness towards your partner, not a tenderness, but hard, right? That's a sign that relationship is dying or dead. When there's a lack of trust, I don't trust that my wife or my husband is for me, is with me. I don't trust that they want what's best for me. Trust is broken. And when there's no trust, that marriage, that relationship is dead or it's dying and it needs to be revived. And we were just talking about that. Somebody else said, time. If a couple doesn't spend any time together, that relationship's probably dying, right? So just take those words and apply them to our friendship, our relationship with God. If you're not spending time with God, if your heart is hard, not tender towards Him, if there's no, you don't trust Him, you're not following Him because you don't trust Him. You're like, He's out to ruin my life. He's not out to help me. He's out to hurt me. You don't trust Him. That spiritual friendship with God is probably dying. If you're not talking to Him anymore. And so think this morning with me about, I'm just going to guess that there's somebody here. I know it's more than one that's going, my relationship with God needs to be revived. Just like this guy writing the words of the Bible. He's like, man, revive me. I'm flooded with life. I'm overwhelmed. I'm discouraged. I wonder who that might be today. I wonder if God brought you into this place to fill you with hope that this morning, you're just a decision away from saying a prayer of revive me, just like He did. Revive me. Lord, how great is Your mercy. Let me be revived. Lord, my soul is weary with sorrow. Would You strengthen me this morning according to Your word? Lord, I'm afflicted very much. Hardship, heartache in your life. You're like, man, I don't even know if I believe in God anymore. But you have enough faith to pray, God, revive me. That's where this psalmist is. God promises to revive us from that dead, dying place if we'll turn to Him and if we'll walk in His ways, trusting Him, talking to Him, having our hearts be tender towards Him. Here's the second reflection. It's just simply that God uses His word not only to revive us, but to free us. To free us. Tim Keller, he wrote a book called Every Good Endeavor. And I have a quote for us. He wrote this: modern people like to see freedom as the complete absence of any constraints. Just absorb that. Modern people like to see freedom as the complete absence of any constraints. I'm going to just push pause there. This morning, at a stop sign. Remember, was it last week? I was the one who went through the stop sign on my bike. Well, this morning, I stopped at the stop sign and I was about to go, and a guy on an e-bike didn't even yield, just went flying through the stop sign. And we think, that's freedom. Do you realize that your choices impact others? I could have hit that guy. That would have impacted my life. You're demanding, I'm going to do whatever I want, when that stop sign doesn't apply to me, impacts those around you and me. And that's where Tim Keller's getting, modern people like to see free, complete absence of any, I get to do whatever I want. But think of a fish, he says, because a fish absorbs oxygen from water, not air. It is free only if it's restricted to water. If a fish is freed from the river and then put on grass to explore, its freedom to move and soon even to live is destroyed. The fish is not more free, but less free. Freedom is not so much the absence of restrictions as finding the right ones, those that fit with the realities of our own nature and those of the world. And so this writer in Psalm 119 Verse 45, I will walk in freedom, for I've devoted myself to your commandments. What? We think, well, no, no, freedom and following God's commandments, that feels like a prison to some of us. That's restrictive. He's keeping me from doing what I want. And yet, this is part of the upside-down kingdom of God's way of life. I will walk in freedom. How? By devoting myself to your commandments. Verse 32, I am quick to follow your commands because you have set my heart free. There's a freedom to walk with a skip in your step because you know I'm walking in the light. I'm following in the commandments of God that lead to life and happiness and freedom. And then Jesus said in John 8, if you hold to my teaching, hold to it and follow it, you're really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. Set you free. Free from what? Free from selfish living, being self-absorbed, having to self-promote all the time. Free from just this, it's all about me. Jesus wants to free us up. God's word says, I want to set you free from that life of worrying about what everybody else thinks, because it's all about me. In fact, he says, you know, he's freed up from a love for money. He wants to be freed up from pursuing worthless things. That's the selfish living that creeps into all of us, creeps into my life. I get seduced into that selfishness. And God's word, if I keep absorbing it and soaking in it and praying and letting God transform and change the way I think, my heart gets set free. But it's also a freedom from, in verse 39, my shameful ways, feeling like I'm not good enough or godly enough. Anybody feel like you're not good enough or godly enough? I mean, that's most of us, I think. And then God's word says that God wants to set you and me free from shame, of being crippled emotionally, from childhood wounds. There's emotional healing available. Free from pride. Free from pride. I asked the children, because I'm going to ask you. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you would say, I'm humble. I'm humble. And then how many of you would say, I'm right about everything? Raise your hand. Can you be humble and right about everything, including politics? No, I'm right about this person. God's word wants to deliver us or set us free from pride, thinking I'm right all the time, but also thinking I'm humble too. I wonder who here this morning God brought because you want to experience more freedom. You're locked up. You're not freed up. You're in a prison of selfishness. You're in a prison of fear. You're in a prison of shame, beating yourself up, a prison of guilt. The psalmist reminds us that God uses his word to free us. So my last reflection, and it's really more just one statement, God uses his word to guide us into a real friendship. That's what this whole psalm is about, to guide us into a real friendship with himself, with God. It's like for 176 verses, we get to peek into this guy's journal. It's like he lets us into his spiritual journal, his emotions, his thoughts, his relationship, his fears, his everything. It's right in here. I'll close with this. I'm going to read a reflection that actually Pastor Jono read for us at the Sunrise Prayer. If you haven't joined us yet, what Thursday is it? Third Thursday of the month, we meet out Stearns Wharf at the Sea Center out there for a half hour, 30 minutes of prayer. We call it a sunrise prayer gathering. And we lead the group in a guided prayer time. And Jono, he read this reflection. I thought it was so good. And I'm going to close with this. So I think we have it on the screen, but let me read it for us. It says, recently, is written by Shelby Turner, by the way. Recently, when I read this psalm, Psalm 119, something stuck out to me that I had not noticed before, and it was a sweet balm to my weary soul. I love that. A sweet balm to my weary soul. I sometimes feel weary when trying to walk in the ways of God. That's real right there. You feel that. I feel that. I feel weary when I realize I lost my temper again. I feel weary when I notice unforgiveness and bitterness have taken root in my soul. And I'll add the word again. I feel weary when I ignore the leading of the Holy Spirit to spend time in God's Word. And instead, I scroll social media. My waywardness makes me weary. And while I know that God does not condemn me for this, I also deeply desire to grow in Christ's likeness, in Christ's like character, and see these wrongs rooted out of my heart. And you know what? If I had to guess, I would say that the author of Psalm 119 experienced a similar struggle. Within this psalm, I found many beautiful prayers pleading with God to help increase affection for the ways of God. Each of these precious prayers made my soul burst within. Though the soul loved God's ways, they needed his help in them. And oh, I need this too. Teach me. Open my eyes. Help me. Turn my eyes. Be ready to help me. The honesty, humility, and vulnerability in these prayers are refreshing. God's ways are high and holy, and we cannot keep them in our own strength. We need divine help. And God knows this. So let me pray over you and for you. I'm going to have the band come up. I'm going to invite the prayer team to come up too. I for whatever reason, I feel that there are some of you today that prayer for to be revived. Something's dying in you, your soul, in your spirit. Maybe there's a relationship that feels dead or dying, and you want us to pray over you, over that relationship. Might be your relationship with God. It might be a family relationship with an adult child, a teenage child. It might be with your parents. You're sitting here going, man, I feel estranged from my dad or my mom, and you want us to pray over you for that sense of it's dead, it's dying, and I want the new life in that relationship. But it might also just be your spiritual life just feels like it's dying a slow death. But God brought you here today. So come for prayer and let us pray a blessing over you. And let us pray that God would revive you. And others, maybe you're stuck in a prison and you want prayer for freedom today. Jesus came to set the captives free. That's what church is all about. So if you're at a place where you're like, I'm just struggling and I want to experience freedom, we'd love to pray for you and over you. Let me pray right now and then a general prayer, but then prayer team, I'll invite you to come on up. Father, you know every heart and every home in this room, every soul. You know every student. You know every person, what they brought in, the baggage they brought in, the hurts and the heartaches they brought in, the disappointment, the dead places and spaces, relationships, friendships, that we long to see revived. And you know those issues or areas of our life where we feel captive, we feel like we're in a prison, we're not making progress, we feel chained, stuck. Unwanted behaviors, choices that we don't want to make, but we keep making them, and we want to be set free. I pray today that you'd fill us with your Spirit, that the Word of God and the Spirit of God would do the work of God in us to revive us and to set us free so that we could know you and love you and follow you wholeheartedly. I pray that we'd walk out of here today different than when we walked in. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.